Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Luke in chapter 24. Luke in chapter 24. Why don't you stand? Let me read 9 verses. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, which bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed throughout thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Jesus said he was going to do this. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. Go ahead and be seated, please. Jesus appeared to some of the disciples on the way back. And skip ahead to verse 33. Verse 33. Before I read this, Pastor Devin told me, you know, people don't walk the aisle here very much. They're good people, just stoic, you know. They don't walk the aisle here a lot. They don't say amen a lot. And so I felt like it was my part of my duty to impress upon them how important it is to have warm aisles. And we here at Fundamental Baptist Church, and I say this humbly, we've got a kneel at the altar kind of religion. You know what I mean when I say that? I mean a humble, a humility, a surrendering, a dying to self kind of walk with God. Let's never become the uptown church where people just kind of stand there and are very stoic and God isn't real, and I'll get real at a football game, but I'm not going to get real at church. And when the altar call is given, the service is done. And you never search your heart. Don't get there. You know what? Even those stoic Montanans, before the second service, they were walking the aisles. People were walking the aisles. Pastor Devin said that he hadn't seen walk the aisle ever. We said people come forward and receive Christ as their Savior. Man, it's a living Savior that we serve. Look at verse 33. They rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known unto them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And they were terrified. I guess so. That's supernatural. That's something you don't see every day. That's something I and you have never seen. There they were fellowshipping together and talking about Jesus, and he appears. And he's right there in their midst. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he had said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. It's Jesus. They understand that. He appears in their midst and he says, Why are you afraid? I told you I was going to do this. I told you I was going to be crucified. I told you on the third day I was going to rise again. Look at my scars. Touch me. It's me. Verse 40. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they yet believed not for joy, they couldn't believe it, it's too good to be true, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? He's hungry. Glory to God. He's in his glorified body, and he is hungry. I am so looking forward to heaven. I left Kinross a week ago Thursday, a skinny man. I blew my diet 6 ways till Sunday every single day. There were times, Mike Bailey, I had 2 candy bars at one time. Man, I just like, oh, I kind of went on a binge. I said, okay, I'm out here serving God. I don't need that stinking oatmeal for breakfast. And you know what else? I left Kinross a skinny man. I came back a fat man. And you know what? I enjoyed every minute of it. But I'm back on the wagon, all right? I'm back on it now, all right? Back on the oatmeal thing. It says here, Jesus in his glorified body, he was hungry. I cannot wait. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, you know what? Here's my picture. The disciples are sitting around him. They're all sitting around him watching him eat. And they got great big grins on their faces, great big smiles. Maybe they're hugging one another, punch one another in the shoulder. He's here. We saw him die. We saw him put in the sepulcher. We saw him put in the grave. The centurion said, he's a dead man. They put him in there 3 days and three nights. He's here. It's really Jesus. He's alive. And I want to tell you something this morning. He's here this morning. Some of you have gotten all caught up in the world, and I'm really concerned about you. Some of you have turned your face from God to fleshliness, and I'm really concerned about you. And I'm telling you, he's here. And Jesus has never changed, and he will never change. And the same Christ that saved you and forgave you of your sins and gave you eternal life and made you into a new creature, a new creation, he's still here. He's still alive. Maybe you've run back to Egypt. You got to turn around again. You got to get right and start serving God again. The world is so alluring. I know that. The flesh is so weak. I'm aware of that. I'm just like you are. But he's here. Verse 42. Well, let's skip ahead to verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. He fulfilled all kinds of messianic prophecies, like 300 of them. He said, I told you these things. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, just like the Holy Spirit does for us today. The Holy Spirit hadn't yet come yet, but he opened it up to them, and they listened to him and said, that's right. It makes sense now. Verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Jesus, just before the ascension, he looks to them and he blesses them. Wouldn't it be good to have the blessing of Jesus Christ? Amen. You got it. You're part of the church. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. All it requires of us is to follow him. We're not real good followers. We just need to follow him. He is the shepherd. He is the head of the church. We just need to follow him. If we follow him, he will bless us. Go over to Acts. Acts in chapter 1. I got about 5 points I want to preach, and I'm obviously not going to preach them this morning. I can tell you that already by the direction and what I've already read this morning. Dr. Luke here records for us the birthday of the church, brand new dispensation. It's the church age. It's the day that we live in. We're at the end of it. We're at the end of the church age, but this is the day that we live in. And so many of God's children could be giants for God, but they don't understand the doctrine of the church, of the gospel, of the age in which we live. God is looking for warriors, not men that are soft spiritually. By the way, it doesn't take a man to drink a beer. A kid can drink a beer. A 12-year-old can drink a beer. That, don't think for a minute that is manhood. It doesn't take a man to cuss. An 8-year-old can cuss. You know it and I know it. That is not manhood. Grow a backbone. Become a man of God in a day of darkness, the day of darkness in which we live. Become part of the army of God, soldier of the cross. Stand up and be counted. It's too easy to blend in. It's too easy to be camouflaged. It's weak. That's weak. Don't just wander and sputter through life. Verse 1, Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. This is Dr. Luke speaking, the same writer of the Gospel of Luke, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You understand what he's saying here? Dr. Luke is saying, one of the apostles, he's saying, Jesus Christ gave us instructions. He gave us instructions before the crucifixion, and he gave us instructions after the resurrection. He was with us for 40 days. Many infallible proofs. Many people that even Luke was writing to, they had seen the resurrected Christ. He didn't hide in the shadows somewhere. He was known in Jerusalem that Jesus is alive. And he says, now you stay in Jerusalem, and you tarry until I send the Holy Spirit, until I send the Comforter, the Helper, and the church will be born. And you'll go forth and you'll preach the gospel to every creature. It's called the Great Commission. And as children of God, we are empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Look at let me continue to read. Verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2, skipping ahead. And I'm not sure where this message is going this morning. That's okay. All right, I'll get you out on time. I just want to convey some truths that God is laying on my heart. The church's greatest chapters are yet to be written. If we, as the people of God, will empty ourselves of ourselves and follow God, and we got a friend day coming up. You know, we'll see people get saved. We'll see people get born again. You'll see some people you love, that you care about, get born again if you'll get serious in the work of God. You just empty yourself of yourself. Oh, the church was born 2,000 years ago. On the day of Pentecost, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, came as a rushing, mighty wind. The apostles were endued with power from on high. They preached the gospel in 15 different languages as listed in Acts in chapter 2. Many were saved. 3,000 souls were saved on that first day of the church, the birthday of the church. And go to chapter 2 in the latter part of chapter 2 in verse 41. Verse 41. See, man, I'd like to see people get saved like that again. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same Jesus Christ and the same God the Father. We're the same church of Jesus Christ as was there on the first day of the church. What was different about us and them? They tarried in Jerusalem. The most important thing in their lives was the will of Jesus Christ. And they waited and they prayed. Nothing else was important. The Holy Spirit came. God's perfect time. One-time event. Day of Pentecost. A high and holy day in Jerusalem among the Jews. And they were endued with power from on high. You might want to scratch these verses down, these references. It took me a while to find these references. It was some time ago, but it took me a while. Do you know the first century church fulfilled the Great Commission? The first century church reached the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without technology, without mass transportation, high-speed transportation, they reached the entire world. Pastor, how can you know that? Bible says so. Colossians 1:23. Romans 1:8. Romans chapter 10. 1 Thessalonians 1:18. They reached the whole world because they had the power of God on their ministries. Did some falter? Yes. Did some stumble? Yes. It's like this kneel at the altar kind of religion. You say, does everybody that come forward, do they ever really, they all turn into giants for God? No. Some of them fail. Some of them make mistakes and poor choices along the way. You know what? I've had a bad pizza or two in my life, but I'm not going to stop eating pizza. Now, I love pizza. And to think that, well, not everybody that comes forward is truly born again, or not everybody that comes forward truly gets their life all around. That's wrong-headed. You're looking at that completely backwards. I'm telling you, the majority that do are. The majority that come forward do. I mean, God does get a hold of them. It's amazing. You can stand back during the altar call and not walk forward like you've always done, and you'll always be what you always were. Or you can learn to be surrendered. You can learn to be sensitive to God, the Holy Spirit. And I want you to maybe need to know this, because there might be a big ego or two somewhere here in the auditorium. You don't know as much as God. You ain't got it all figured out. You don't even understand the basic truths of the Word of God. That's why we need to be reminded. That's why Paul told Titus, put them in remembrance. Keep continually, put it up before them, and so they'll have understanding. I love the church. Look what it says in verse 41. That they that gladly received his word were baptized. After salvation, you get baptized. The same day they were added unto them. Who's the them? The church. About 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine's big. Bible doctrine is so important. Without Bible doctrine, the word doctrine means teachings. Without Bible doctrine, it becomes a man-made religion. And even if we are all saved in this particular man-made religion, we're going to cease to reach out and reach others. And we're going to become more and more tainted as days and months go by. And we'll become more and more like the world and less like Jesus. I love the church. The word church, the Greek word for church, is the word ekklesia. The very nature of the world, of that word, speaks of separation. The word ecclesia says means called out assembly. Not just an individual. Called out assembly. That's the word. That is the Bible word for church. The church was born on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came down. He indwelt the believers. People got saved. 3,000 of them. 3,000 of them. 3,000 of them followed the Lord in the waters of baptism. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued. Fellowship, that's important. We need one another. No man's an island. And in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Apostolic first century gifts, the sign gifts. The word of God is not complete yet, so God allowed these things to happen to give authenticity to their messages. It was apostolic gifts, all right? Verse 43, and fear, let me read 42 again. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Not a selfish man or woman among them. You say, man, could we ever get everybody with that kind of heart? That would be revival. We'll get a little piece of it. We'll never get it all until we get to heaven, or we are presented to Christ, the church, without spot and unwrinkled and pure. We're to strive for it here in this earth. The problem with the church of Jesus Christ is it's made up of sinners. That's where it breaks down, right there. That's where it breaks down. We are broken people, and we struggle with one another. Sometimes we're good influences. Iron sharpeneth iron. Sometimes we're bad influences. We're like jello. We rub off on one another. That's why I'm afraid of Facebook. That's why I, as a man, am afraid of technology. I don't want to see all that stuff. I fear that we know too much about one another. And it's hindered the work of God. Let me just put everything to rest right now. That person sitting next to you, still a sinner. That's where they're at. But man, we can live under the spout where the glory comes out. Man, we can be right with God. Then iron sharpens iron. That is good. You see, with technology, it used to be you had to look for someone to backslide with you. Now they come to you. And you just kind of throw yourself into it. Just a warning. The church needs to be revived. Fear came upon every soul. Verse 44, all that believed were together, had all things common. They sold their possessions and their goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. That's kind. That's giving. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Good gravy, they went to church every day. every single day. That would tell me that that was priority in their life. That would tell me that their Savior was number one in their hearts. I don't know how early it was in the day. I don't know how late it was in the day. But every day, daily, they just could not get enough. The carnal Christian punches a time clock. Is that where you're at? The godly Christian can't get enough. That's why those ranchers got in their pickup trucks and their rusted out vans and drove on gravel for an hour and a half to come to church. Man, I looked at some of their vehicles. I remember the UP like that. Remember when you used to ride in the back seat of your parents' car and it'd fill up with dust? Every time you go down a gravel road, it was, oh! You young people have no idea what that is. I mean, most of the roads around here were gravel then. Was it just my dad and mom that had cars like that? Were they just poor? I mean, you were asphyxiated sometimes. I mean, it was bad. And dad, before salvation, now if he could drive 100 mile an hour, he was going to drive 100 mile an hour. Right? If he could do that power turn, he was going to do that power turn. He got a 66 Chevelle Malibu. I remember that. It was a 396 motor. Is that what that is in there? 396. It was black. Man, that was the hottest thing going. He had glass packs on it. It's a married man. What's wrong with that guy down there? That's the first car he owned that didn't fill up with dust when we were going down the road, man. And you had to be careful going down muddy roads because things came up through the floorboards. Now, what was I saying about that? I know what it was. These ranchers down dusty roads to come to church every night of the revival. They couldn't get enough. I don't think I preach particularly well. Amen, Deb? I think maybe, you know, I rate my own sermons. I rate my own sermons. I preach 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. I think I laid one egg, and two of them I thought were pretty mediocre. Now, the other ones I felt really good about. It's amazing how God uses the weaker sermons sometimes and penetrates people's hearts. But, man, they were like sponges. Just fill my plate, man. I'm here for seconds. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were joyous. They were joyful. They were rejoicing. Singleness of heart. Only one thing mattered. Everything else was just kind of fringe. Only one thing mattered. They had to get their loved ones saved. Their coworkers saved. People that haven't yet heard the gospel, they needed to get them saved. Tell them of Jesus. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Not only were they in church every day, but they were fellowshipping with one another every day from house to house, always centered around the Word of God. Food is in there too, I notice, but always centered around the Word of God. Praising God. I know this isn't deep this morning, and I'm through. I didn't preach one single point of this message, but praising God. When's the last time God heard your heart verbally praise Him? Say, I'm too busy for that. I feel bad for you. Because if your joy depends on Michigan State winning a football game, you got nothing. You got nothing. If your joy depends on having X amount of money in a savings account, you got nothing. And you're probably coveting that so much, you probably never spend a dollar of it. You know, that is such a paradox. It really is. But once God heard you tell Him, in your words, I love you, God. I said this morning in Sunday school, I'll say it right now, I'll close with this. Preaching through the book of Galatians. Here's salvation right here. Here's the law right here. You get born again, you're saved by grace, you're over here. Now right here, this is New Testament Christianity. Right now, I'm going to tell you what it is. Right, this is truly Bible fundamentalism. I don't go there. I don't say that. I don't hang out with those kinds of people. Not because I have a list of do's and don'ts. I don't do it because I love Jesus. Because I owe Him everything I have. Because I am saved by grace. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. But I love him so much, when I read something in the Bible or principles taught in the Bible, I'm good with that. Man, I'm following him. Because I love Christ. If your relationship with Christ has boiled down to a bunch of do's and don'ts, God help you. You're going to get cynical. You're going to get so full of yourself and bitter, you'll have no time for God. But if you'll just keep your eyes on Christ, and you'll love him, and you'll obey him, and obey Bible precepts and Bible principles, and you don't need somebody to shove it down your throat, you read it, you hear it, you know it, the Holy Spirit's, I'm in. Doesn't matter. And outsiders may look at it as a bunch of do's and don'ts. I was talking to a man just before I left for Montana. There was a man that got saved, and he said, I thought you had a dress code at that church. It's amazing what people hear. And you know what? If you're not careful, you will spread that kind of rumor with a bad attitude. I said, oh man, somebody sold you a bill of goods. We got a dress code for the platform. I control that, and I want it to be the example kind of thing. And I want everybody to come along, but you come just the way you are. I'm glad you got saved. Man, you come just, and we'll help you grow in grace. And if you fall in love with Jesus, you'll be right over here with us. And it don't matter. You know, you think New Testament Christianity is do's and don'ts? You're a long ways from where you need to be. I'm telling you, if it doesn't, but if in the Bible it said I had to shave my head and wear a robe, I would do it. Because I love Jesus. It doesn't say that, by the way. That's not there. But, man, you just fall in love with God. I went to Bible college when I was called to preach and finally surrendered. Went off to Bible college. All through high school, I had facial hair. I had matured real fast, matured real early. It really helped in my athletic career in a great way. I had a mustache, a real one, a real bushy mustache when I was a sophomore in high school. Man, and it looked good. And it was my identity. I was proud. Man, it was what Tim Rader was all about, you know, the man. And I surrendered to preach, and I got to Bible college, opened up the handbook, and it said, no facial hair. Well, I'm out of here. That's not how it was. I didn't even think twice about it. And I want you to know I look funny without a mustache. I shaved it off. Man, I thought, I'm naked. Man, what's going on here? You know, but because I was there for one purpose. I was there for the ministry. And if the leadership there told me I couldn't have facial hair, you can't find that in the Bible, by the way. But if that's where they were and that's what they required, just like the Marines, I'm in, man. I'm in. It matters not. I'm gonna do the right thing. I signed up. I signed on the dotted line. I'm a preacher boy here. I'm in all the way. You know, whatever it takes. That's the attitude we need to have in serving Christ. In serving Christ. It's not do's and don'ts. I'm in love. They were praising him. Every day. I want to read the last verse again. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They truly had the power of God. They had favor with all the people. That speaks of inside and outside the family of God. People respected them. You can't argue with a happy heart. You can't argue joy. You can say, oh, they're all wet, they're all wrong. But if there's a bounce in their step and they're in love with Christ, they got no rebuttal for that. They got no argument for that. They can't say, what are they going to say? Ah, they're too happy. Ah, they don't got any, it's like they don't have any burdens or nothing. Ah, God takes care of them all the time. That's a bunch of foolishness. That's what God's willing to do.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.